حناني وإن أذنبت رجاني وإن أدبرت ناداني وإن أقبلت أدناني وإن أحببت والاني وإن
السلام عليكم. We are glad you could join us today for another program. We are here with Sheikh Ahmed Hanif, and we want to talk about the Muslim schools and Muslim madrasas, especially in non-Muslim countries. Salaam alaikum to you, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We find that many parents today are opting to send their children to Islamic madrasas and Islamic schools rather than state schools. Now, how important are these madrasas and Islamic schools for our Muslim youth today?
I think they're vital. When you consider that the bulk of a person, and I say person because it applies to both adults and children, a bulk of a person's, and school-age children, the bulk of a person's productive time in the day is spent either at work or at school, it becomes a very important component of a child's Muslim development of the identity for them to be going to an Islamic school. Because an Islamic school is basically a micro society of Muslims where that child becomes immersed in at an early age. And that is very important for maintaining their identity.
I see. Now, some people think that these schools have a negative impact on our young people in the sense that they are not then well equipped to deal with the wider society, a society that includes many different people, many different races and cultures and so on, when they have been restricted all their lives to just being in an Islamic environment, in an Islamic school.
Some people think that just going to an Islamic school sort of like marginalizes a child in terms of their ability to transact across cultures and so forth. I think this is an error. I don't think that there's any statistic that bears this out. In fact, you find that people going to faith schools, if one can call it so in general, tend to be more successful academically, tend to be more powerful socially. We have girls' schools where girls go and there are no boys there. And we have not heard about these girls who have gone to girls' schools having crises in terms of getting married, or having a family relationship. It's the same kind of argument that they would put, you see. I think the argument is one that is just, they just want to sort of like, they think that religious schools in particular have a problem, you see. But if you use the same argument that people in these religious schools might not be socially viable, because they are sort of like marginalized in a religious environment. So the same argument can be used for girls' schools or all-boys schools.
You're talking about girls, all girls or all-boys schools in the wider society.
In the wider society, I see. Yes. Okay. One can say, if boys go to all-boys schools, they would not be able to
interact with
women when they become men. Okay. Or girls who go to all-girls schools would not be able to interact with men. When they become older, but you don't have this problem, you see. Similarly, I think it is the same thing with Muslim schools. Muslim schools, going to an all-Muslim school, if that school has a proper curriculum where it presents for the student knowledge about the society in which they live, like sociology, like geography, you see, etc., right? It should not have a negative impact upon the students.
In any case, students have to interact within the wider society when they're outside of school.
Exactly. And in this interaction with the wider society, they gain the necessary experience in order to maneuver in the society.
What are some of the problems that faith schools, or maybe we can just narrow it down to Muslim schools, really? What sort of problems do they experience in this environment?
I think one of the major problems that they experience in the environment is the fact that these schools can be looked upon as a step towards self-aggrandizement, about self-promotion, rather than about a proper integration into the Muslim community and growth as part of the Muslim community. What I mean is this.
Please explain. What do you mean what by I mean self-promotion? Is this.
Okay, you have a Muslim school, and you might have a Muslim parent, okay, who is not a practicing Muslim, okay, at all. You know, that person might even drink, for example. And they send their child to a Muslim school because they know Muslim schools are disciplined. They know Muslim schools get a very high Ofsted report. Okay? So they send their children to those schools. These children come into this school with a non-Islamic or even anti-Islamic value system. Okay? They will be the ones who will be coming into school and telling your kid next to you, did you see program X last night?
Okay.
All right? Or do you have this particular video game or something? All right? That could undermine the task of the school, which is to develop the Islamic personality.
Okay.
This is one of the drawbacks of a faith school, because faith schools, many of them, Islamic schools included, do not take into consideration the role of the parent as part of the community. The role of the parent as an essential part in the school system itself. Okay? It sees itself as a service provider, and the Muslim community at large as the catchment area.
But, okay, so you're saying that because some parents don't really practice properly, your child could be at risk, in the sense that, you know, they could stray from the faith because of their associations with children who are not practicing properly.
Yes.
But you had mentioned self-aggrandizement.
Yes. Self-aggrandizement means self-promotion. Self-promotion. For example, I want my kid to be a doctor.
Okay.
Okay. I do not want to send my child to a regular school. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I don't think it is, it has the positive criteria needed for my kid to be a doctor.
So I send my child to this school because this school has a reputation of being successful.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And there are no girls in the school to distract my son, or no boys in the school to distract my son. You see?
All right.
So
that's a positive quality, don't you think?
But the school is seen as a step towards realizing personal ambitions, okay? And not as what it is. Okay? Because the question is, why are Muslim schools important?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Muslim school is important in order to maintain and perpetuate the Muslim community. That's why the Muslim school is important. Okay, if it's not important as a Muslim school, okay, then any special high school, where boys and girls might be segregated, right, that has discipline, is sufficient for the Muslim community. Why do you have a Muslim school, right? You have a Muslim school to create and to maintain an Islamic identity in the student, okay, where they're both a successful Muslim member of their community and a successful member of the wider community.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Please stay with us.
لا أنت ولا أطيب ويشد الطير في البستان لا أنت ولا أطرب تفوح روائح الريحان لا أزكى ولا أطيب ويشد الطير في البستان لا أنت ولا أطرب تفوح What was the ceremony today about?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today's ceremony was more of a graduation party for the students that attended the Arabic classes throughout the terms under the name of As-Salam Arabic School. It is a Saturday school. It combines the teaching of Arabic, Islamic teachings, and also Quran. Naturally, the main object of the school is for the children to learn and perfect their Arabic so they could understand and be able to read and also have a more comprehension of the Quran itself. Alhamdulillah, we have had in the past years we have had a wonderful success throughout the history of the school, and children have graduated, reached from a very primary level to all the way to the GCSE, and have left the school. Some of them have come back here to help become volunteers at the school itself. But at the same time, we've had students who have gone further, and they're even more prepared to do the same work in different schools or start the same subject at their universities or colleges. So this is what we've seen today, basically, at the graduation party.
Overall, how many subjects do you have in Islamic school?
It differs. We go through the levels according to their age. So when we say Islamic culture or Islamic teachings, it can be into ethics, it can be into jurisprudence, it can be into teachings of Islamic hadith and narration. And at the same time, perfecting their general knowledge of Islam, knowledge of the rules and the conditions of prayers, salat, and also fasting, other obligations that they have, ghusl, wudu, related matters, both for boys and girls. So it covers a variety of subjects.
How many students are studying here in this school?
At the moment, it's a total of 340 students that we have from primary age that they start of 4.5 to 5 years old, all the way to 14. And we have divided them into boys and girls, obviously, because of the nature of the school that we have here. It's been easy for us to divide the boys and girls into different parts of the building. The only class that we have as a mixed class is the beginners class, which is the nursery, so-called, which are between 4.5 to 5 years old.
Welcome back. We're glad you could join us. We're here with Sheikh Ahmed Hanif, and we're talking about the importance of Islamic schools, especially in non-Muslim countries. Now, before that break, you had mentioned the problem of people coming into the school or sending their children to an Islamic school who have their own agenda. Okay. What about other problems that these schools, Muslim schools, experience, especially in an environment like this?
I think another problem is the presentation of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
The only presentation of Islam that is workable in a society like this is a presentation of Islam where the student, when he or she leaves the school and goes outside, is able to apply the principles learned in the school in their environment, okay? You find that the presentation of Islam in many of these schools does not approach this. Islam is presented as something static, you know. There's the Sunnah of the Prophet, this is how we behaved, you know. A little bit of akhlaq here, a little of ahkam there, you know. But in order to be able to sort of like judge the society, to be able to analyze society according to Islamic principles, for example, you know, you don't have the students being equipped for that. Another problem is that some of these schools tend to be nepotistic, okay, in the sense that that school belongs to a particular ethnic group who dominate the administrative aspect of it, you know, and as such is in danger of sacrificing quality and skill and expertise, you know, for membership in a particular family or membership in a particular social group, you know. And I think these are some of the major problems with some of these schools.
Okay. Now, what advantages do these schools have over secular schools?
Well, the advantages over the secular school system is that these schools filter out questionable value systems that the secular school system might propagate. For example, the secular school might propagate and does propagate the breakdown of social interaction between boys and girls, you know, where it would, for example, tolerate the expression of certain types of physical intimacy between boys and girls, for example. You know, it can filter out negative value systems or value systems that are not compatible with Islam. in so doing, it could create a sense of personal discipline, you know, and self-control, because these distractions are not around, and so it would make students study harder. And this is also reflected in their track record in terms of their performance in national exams and so forth, where, you know, students are encouraged to study and not to be distracted by other, you know, things. Yeah, I think these are the major advantages of them. And they still also tend to foster and generate a sense of Islamic social identity.
What are some of the important things that Muslim madrasas are teaching our children?
Some of the important things they are teaching our children?
Yeah.
I think they teach children, in addition to the classical subjects, they also teach them Quran, they also teach them rules of conduct, they also teach them the basic rules of prayer, of fasting, of personal purification, ritual purification. You know, it gives them greater familiarity with Islamic teachings and Islamic history. You know, I think many of these things are lacking in the regular school system.
Now, do you think that Muslim schools should be open to people of other faiths in the role of students as well as teachers?
I think so.
Teachers, yes.
I mean, you know, to teach mathematics, you know, you don't have to be a Muslim to teach mathematics, unless you are a very deep Muslim who can see Islam in mathematics and one can teach that, you know. I you know, things like biology and so forth and literature and so forth.
Come on, yeah. You have to admit that teaching a subject is not just teaching. You're not just teaching the material. There's a whole package that comes with that. Your behavior, the way you present yourself, the little quips you make, little things you say while you're discussing the subject, you know, about other things going on in the classroom. Teachers make comments about things in the news and so on. You know, it's not just when you get into a classroom, you're not just presenting mathematics or whatever.
Right.
These things, you know, teachers give their opinions, they express their opinions in many different ways, sometimes without even words.
Yes.
You know, do you want people who are not of your faith influencing your child in a way that you might think is negative because they are not of your faith, because they have other values?
I think, for example, you know, I think these concerns are legitimate.
I mean, we are not talking about university here where people maybe have some experience in formulating their own thoughts.
Right.
We're talking about primary school, secondary education here.
Yes. I think maybe on the primary school level, you might want Muslims, of course, right? On the intermediate school and the secondary level, I think young Muslims could have a sufficient amount of self-awareness and so on, especially if they're going through an Islamic school system from the beginning, to be critical. I think that, you know, when you're hiring a teacher, you know, they go through a period of probation, right? And in that period of probation, you could know exactly the ideas and the points of view. There are certain realities of non-Muslim teachers that students know. For example, a teacher could come to school talking about their dog. You know, Muslims know that non-Muslims have dogs. Okay, they meet people talking about the dogs on the street every day.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to have that on the street every day. It's another thing to have it in the school.
Well,
I mean, we live in a non-Muslim society.
Yes.
Right? That doesn't mean we must make our Muslim school part of that non-Muslim society.
It's true. I'm not saying we should hire all non-Muslim teachers or the majority or whatever, but I don't see it as a big problem if, for example, you have a decent non-Muslim who's an excellent teacher, okay, and who is teaching something that, you know, would be very difficult to sort of like interpret in, let's say, a non-Muslim way, like science or math, as opposed to sociology, you know, or psychology or something like that, right? I think that it's quite possible that, you know, you could be successful with it. And especially, for example, when we start talking about laws and rules about fair hiring and so forth, it becomes an important issue, right? I know, for example, in one school in Toronto, the Jaffrey School at 9000 Bathurst, for example, they have non-Muslim teachers there. I haven't heard of any untoward problems that have come about because of this, you see. Because I think, you know, I mean, there's a lot of naturally good behaviors and attitudes and so forth that Islam proclaims that the normally decent person also shares.
Okay.
You know?
Quite an interesting topic, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who have varied opinions about this. We are going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh.
how much are students satisfied from school?
They are generally very happy with the outcome of the school. Naturally, you can't satisfy everybody. Not everybody will be happy. Not everybody will be able to understand. Depending on the condition of the teachers and the students, matters differ. But as a whole, we can say up to 85% of the students are very, very satisfied and happy with the outcome.
Do you have any activities over the summer for students?
We have a summer camp that's a combination between this school and a few other schools and centers, which covers up to 400 students, obviously with their families. And it goes on for about 2 weeks. But for the moment, that's the only activity that we have. There are other times which during the school we have got trips, same day trips, one day trips, sometimes just weekend trips as well for the students.
Do you think existing such Islamic school in Western society, non-Islamic society, can affect in the lives of students of Muslim family?
Oh, very much so. Very much so, and it's very needed because students and families with children at different schools and colleges here in the West attend 5 days of the week, which is most of their time at colleges. By the time, obviously, they come back home, they're tired, they do their homework or eat something, they will get little time to spend training or teaching or learning from their parents. Not many of them have the full household available with them. Obviously, it's not like back home where you've got the grandparents, you've got the wider family as well. And most of the time, both parents are working parents. The result will be that children will go to sleep after a long day at school without, with hardly any information, Islamic information or knowledge of the extra knowledge of the culture for that day, same day or next day or the relevant the following weeks. So having the Saturday school is definitely has a definitely important, a very, very important role in their lives, and it can bring up both their mental and their cultural values into a much better situation than what they go through throughout the week, and that's what we lack all the time as well.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. We are talking about the importance of Muslim madrasas and Muslim schools in a non-Muslim environment. We were talking quite a bit about non-Muslim staff in a Muslim school. What about allowing non-Muslim students to enter and learn in a Muslim madrasa?
I think we could follow the same principle as the Catholic schools, right? What Catholic schools are explicit about is that priority goes to Catholics, then to other Christians, and then to non-Christians. So if we still have room for people, we could bring in non-Muslims as well. I think it's quite fine. And I think that experience could probably help to increase a positive point of view about Muslim schools in society.
what leeway should we give non-Muslims in a Muslim school?
I think non-Muslims should have the right to worship if they so desire in a Muslim school, right?
To worship in their own, according to their own faith.
According to their own faith, mm-hmm. Right? I think other rulings, like, for example...
Should we make them learn Arabic? Should we make them...
I think it should be optional for them. Maybe learning Arabic should be optional for them. Maybe they should have a choice of learning other languages as well, you know. I think learning Arabic for Muslims in Muslim schools should be an optional thing, you know. Because it's not a religious madrasa, you know. But they should be encouraged to, but they shouldn't be forced to learn these things. I think non-Muslims, it should be optional for them to attend the Muslim religious educational aspect of the school, you know, and that if they require to learn more about their own religion, if they have the sufficient numbers, for example, it should be provided for them.
Okay. Now, do you think that the government should promote and invest in Muslim schools?
Absolutely. I think government should promote and invest into faith schools in general. Mm-hmm. Because we live in a cosmopolitan environment and there are many people who are serious about their faith. And remember, the claim of a secular society is not to stifle religion, but to act as a referee for religion. In other words, people in a secular society should be free to practice their religion. The government should give them the opportunity to do so, but it should be prepared to sort of ward off or dissuade any kind of hostility, interreligious hostility, or potential violence that might occur in society. So therefore, religious schools or faith schools should not be encouraged to be bigoted with respect to other religions. They can criticize, you know, or analyze other religions in favor of their own, but they should remain respectful to other religions.
I see. Okay. Now, there is a lack of Muslim schools in this environment. Mm. I mean, when you compare the numbers of other faith schools, okay, mm. and you compare that to the number of Muslim schools, we are sadly lacking. Mm. What do you think is the reason for this? That Muslims have not generated faith schools, Muslim schools, in accordance with their numbers.
I think there are a lot of
reflecting
reasons.
Reflecting their numbers.
I think there's a lot of reasons for this. I think one reason for it could be a sense of, marginalization. I'll give it a good example. There are maybe, I think I heard last count, there were maybe about 100 and something Sunni schools, okay, in Britain. Okay, or London, I can't remember exactly what. But
okay.
But there are only two Shia schools, mm-hmm. right? Muslim schools. Why is this? When you look at the Shia community, they are still trapped in this idea of being a minority, a persecuted minority that is inward looking. Okay, and this is something that they maintain in this environment. When you have this persecuted minority forced to live in secrecy and so forth, that type of mentality is not conducive to openly creating schools and so forth, you know? You find also that nepotism has a very strong role to play. In some of these Shia schools, they tend to be very closely identified with an ethnic group, a particular ethnic group, mm-hmm. okay, Whereas, for example, in many Sunni schools of thought, it is not identified with an ethnic group per se, but with a belief, right? A madhab. You know, you're a Sunni, you could come to these schools.
In many Sunni schools.
Sunni schools, mm-hmm. Right? And some Shia schools tend to be resistant mm-hmm. to attempts by the state or opportunities in the state for it to be, while it's being a Muslim school, be integrated into the wider school system by, for example, taking advice on how to rationalize their system okay. and so forth in order to get funding and so forth so that they could perform.
Do you think that there is a problem that Muslim schools might tend to have practices within the school system that come from a third world background, you know, immigrant third world background, and might not be as progressive, say, as a first world environment, and therefore might be lacking in this way?
This lack does exist, mm-hmm. but you would find that on the average, mm-hmm. The perception of this lack and the desire to overcome it, many of these schools are prepared to take advice and restructuring in order to achieve this particular potential.
Okay, so what then, this is my final question to you, would you say is the future of Islamic schools in this environment?
I think the Islamic schools will not go away. The only place we can go is up. I think Islamic schools are poised upon being quite successful, at least academically, and should be in the future expanding to the point that it should be attractive to non-Muslims as well to send their children there. I think when that level is reached, I think we would be in a new phase, whereas Islam would become an acceptable madhab in this society and could have a deeper impact upon society.
Thank you very much. We've been talking to Sheikh Ahmed Hanif about the role of Islamic madrasas and schools in this environment. And we are very happy you could join us for this program. Please join us again next time. Goodbye for now. Mm-hmm.